Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders on this Pentecost Sunday. The year 2001 marks the 65th year for our radio program. Our worship service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station every Sunday at this same time and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
What is Pentecost? What happened on that day? If you never knew, or you have forgotten, we're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, as you sent upon the disciple the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, look upon your church and open our hearts to the power of the Spirit. Kindle in us the fire of your love and strengthen our lives for service in your kingdom through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the second chapter of the book of Acts. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what happened to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all of these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?" Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love, and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will one will to do and to.
Friends in Christ, one of America's best-known churches declares, in contrast to many churches which organizes their year around the Christian calendar, we in this church acknowledge only two Christian holidays, namely Christmas and Easter. We also have given special services for the cultural holidays of Thanksgiving, New Year's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Memorial Day, and the 4th of July. Two major church holidays. What are the other holidays? Well, there is one more major holiday, and that happens to be missing in the calendar of this particular church. Let me tell you what that third holiday is, in case you don't know or you have forgotten. It's Pentecost Sunday. This is a festival that proclaims the Holy Spirit's coming in a very unique way to work in the lives of people. Without the Holy Spirit's work, there would be no Christmas nor Easter, because it is the Holy Spirit who creates faith in our hearts, whereby we can receive Christ, who was born in Bethlehem's manger, who was crucified at Calvary's cross, and who was raised on Easter Sunday. No one by his own reason or strength will or can confess Jesus as God, for he is the one who came and walked among us, but remains no more than just another historic person until the Holy Spirit has opened our eyes to see that this Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. My question is this: if no one can come to Christ without the work of the Holy Spirit, should not the church festival, which emphasizes his work in our lives, not be of equal importance with Christmas and Easter? The answer is obvious. The New Testament places great emphasis on the work of the Holy Spirit. The Credo Statement of the Established Churches of Christendom established the importance of his work. Martin Luther, one of the church's greatest theologians, has said it well in the Catechism written for children to memorize. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel. He has enlightened me with his gifts and sanctified and preserved me in the one true Christian church. That's Pentecost, and this is Pentecost Sunday. And so I want to take time to refresh our memories on the importance of the Holy Spirit's work and the story of the glorious day when the Holy Spirit came to earth in a most unique way 50 days after Easter to bring the people to faith in Jesus Christ. It's all told in Acts 2. It says here that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. It was an international crowd, for the Jewish people celebrated Pentecost too. Theirs was a different meaning. They came to celebrate because this was the time that God gave to Moses the law. So they wanted to be there in Jerusalem to celebrate. It was also the first of the crops that had been brought in that were offered to God. There was a mass of people there. When suddenly, according to verse 2, something strange happened. There was a sound like the blowing of a violent wind that came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Kind of interesting. Then the disciples were empowered in a very special way. Verse 3 tells us that they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Well, what was this all about? Here were these poor people who had come from all parts of the world, and they looked like they were in the midst of a drunken mall. In fact, the accusers of the disciples speaking in strange languages said, "They are drunk." So when Peter heard this, he stood up and said, "Brethren, I want you to know that these men are not drunk." And then Peter began to preach to them. I don't know how long he preached, but it could all pretty much be summarized in one particular verse. "God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Again, he was saying to them, Jesus came into this world. He lived among us. He ministered to us for 3 years, and then he suffered and died at the cross, and it was people who brought him there. But after he was dead and had been entombed, God brought him forth. But that death and that resurrection was God at work. Thereby, full payment had been made for the sins of the world. And Jesus Christ had atoned for people's sins in every single generation. When he came forth from the tomb, it was to announce to the world that God had now won the victory for us over sin, death, and the devil. When the people heard this, they began to respond, and they were cut to the heart. That is, they were under the conviction of their sins. And so they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" You know, when you're under a deep conviction of sin, you don't know where to go. Now they were seeking counsel and advice. Where do we go? And Peter comes forth with a clear-cut answer. "Listen to this, my brothers. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far away, for all whom the Lord our God will call." In other words, he is saying to them, repent of your sin. Turn away from it. Ask God to forgive you. And then if you are baptized, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. On that particular day, according to the word of God, there were a lot of people who came to faith in Christ. It is said that there were about 3,000. So now the congregation had grown mightily in just one sermon and in one course of appeal. This is the birthday of the church. Notice how those people became believers in Christ Jesus. They had to believe and be baptized. In other words, baptism was necessary, but it was not just baptism. Just several thousand people did not go up there and just be baptized. Important as baptism is, and through which the Holy Spirit does his work also. But it was faith in Christ too. We need to remember that. Not every person who is baptized is a member of the church in this New Testament sense of the word. Along with baptism, there must come a trusting and a faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And so for 2,000 years, the Holy Spirit has been at work. And what has his work been, friend? It has been convicting us of our sin, enlightening us to see our need for the Savior, and showing us that God loves us so much that he has sent into this world his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, as the way of salvation. The Holy Spirit has been at work creating faith in our hearts and seeking to change us that our lives may be lived unto Christ and not simply for self alone. And when all of this is done, or is in the process of being done, as far as our sanctified life is concerned, God is saying, now we can use you, and Jesus Christ will make his appeal to this world through you. That's what he is about in our midst today. You know, it's very important for us to understand that without that Holy Spirit, there is no way that you and I can come to say from the bottom of our hearts, I trust you and I believe in you, Lord Jesus Christ. Let's talk for a few minutes just about this whole matter of the church. There is within the church, the church. In other words, there are many people who belong to a Christian congregation. And they come. Some of them come very regularly. Others of them come spasmodically. But it's a visible church. If you sit down and ask some of these people, why did you join the church? Oh, they'll say, well, we think that that's very important. In other words, we need to have our family in one church. Maybe a husband comes from a Presbyterian church and a wife comes from a Methodist church, and so they either compromise on one of the two, choose a third one. But they want to have their family in one church, and that's a good thing. The others will say, we need the church, especially in the raising up of our children. We want them to have some religious instruction, and it can be better given to them in the church than it can at home. I really question that last statement, but that's what many people have said throughout the centuries. There are those who will say, well, we need the church in our family. We need the church for what it can offer us. There are going to be times when we'll need to have somebody married. There'll be times when one of our family will go to the hospital and we'd like to have a clergyman visit this individual, bring him comfort, even though you don't know what kind of comfort you're supposed to bring them. And there are times when the last breath has been drawn and we want to have a dignified service, so we need the church. Now, I want to hurry on and say to you, if that describes you, the Holy Spirit is still working to bring you to faith in Christ and truly make you a member of the invisible church, which is in the visible church. In other words, if a congregation has 1,000 members, and there are 500 of them who confess their faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord, there really are 500 members of the church in that particular congregation. In the meantime, the Holy Spirit is working on the other 500 to try to bring them to faith in the Savior. But then there is that invisible church. That is a church that is made up of those people who trust Christ. who love him, who have met him face to face, who, empowered by this Holy Spirit, says today what they said back in that first Pentecost, I want you, Lord Jesus. They have asked the same question, what shall I do to be saved? And they heard the answer from the Bible, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. And this has been their experience. Repentance in this case means that they have confessed their sin. They have confessed their helplessness. And they have, by faith, received Jesus Christ. Who created the faith? The Holy Spirit. How does he do this? Through his word and sacrament. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, always working within us to bring us to that great conviction that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. Now then, what does he do? Is he done with us? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, is the Holy Spirit done with you? No, he's not. No, his work continues. You see, there is this whole matter of growing in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In theological language, we have a long word for that. It's called sanctification. He is continuing to make us more Christ-like. He is trying to get us to the place where hatred is replaced with love. And others takes the place of self-centeredness. And profanity is replaced with prayer. And lying is not a part of our daily routine. In other words, he is seeking to work us into a more understandable relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through the way that we live, that we might be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I began by mentioning a congregation that does not celebrate the festival of Pentecost. Should we then assume that other means are used to bring people to Christ? Well, evidently. Some have replaced the Holy Spirit with psychologizing. You ought to create just the right atmosphere. Remove all of the symbols. You don't want to offend the person who might be seeking the meaning of life and Christianity's answer to this dilemma. Well, maybe if we get this person in the right setting, all of a sudden he will decide on his own. Yeah, I guess I want this Christianity. But sooner or later, this individual, man or woman, must face this fact that I am a sinner, and the only way that I can be redeemed is through faith in Jesus Christ. Is this congregation to which I have made reference now unique? No, it isn't. It was not my purpose this morning to simply take a congregation and be critical of it, but to use it as an example. Because I wonder if we don't have to admit that in too many of our congregations, those with whom I have been affiliated, far too many of us have forgotten the Holy Spirit's work in our own sinful life and in the life of the church. And we were going to do it. But sooner or later, we find out how helpless we are in bringing that person to say, truly, Jesus is my Savior. And so our prayer today is very simple. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come, and send your Holy Spirit to work in our heart. For you, Lord Jesus, are the only one who can sustain us. You are the only one who can forgive us. You are the only one who can bring us home to God. And may the Spirit do his work so that within our hearts there may be a longing to reach the world for Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, both now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the gospel message heard today will bring peace and joy in the days to come. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit ministry. We depend on you, our listeners, for financial support. We broadcast on 25 stations in 11 different states each week. The average cost for 1/2 hour of radio time has risen to $116. Gifts of all sizes are welcomed by our ministry and are used to share the gospel message. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Pastor Larson's sermons are available to you on the website to read, hear, or print 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.